In the name of God, there are no small deeds. There are no lesser acts. You know, sometimes things may not look that important and may seem insignificant. But the main thing to remember, if they are done in the name of Christ, they are as weighty as what the most seemingly large acts. In our first reading, we have the story of Naaman. And when I was a kid, this was kind of a popular little children's Bible story. You know, of course, they took out all the parts about him basically being a big threat and dangerous. But Naaman was probably the most powerful person in the Middle East of his time. He was one of the most dangerous people in the known world. And the king of Israel had every reason to be scared of him, because Naaman tended to basically plow through armies like a big scythe. So, you know, they were very concerned about it. Now, in spite of all of his strength and his power and his wealth, his prestige, we are told that Naaman has leprosy. Now, leprosy, of course, was sort of a blanket term for many skin diseases back then, but the most important thing is that no matter who you are, no matter how powerful, no matter how rich, leprosy ends up separating you from your community. In medieval times, we hear stories of lepers who are sent out of the town, and they have to basically walk around with a bell to warn people that they are coming. And so we have, throughout history, this great fear. And even if, you know, Naaman wouldn't be thrown out of the streets, he still would not be able to socialize, he would not be able to come to the courts. He would basically be left alone, even in his large home. And as we all know, that even the largest space can become a prison if you can't leave it. But the king, Aram, hears about this great prophet, Elijah, and he sends his messenger there to the king of Israel to say, hey, you know, our big general is ill. We want you to fix it. And of course, we have the king of Israel getting all frightened, ripping his clothes out of fear and grief. And you have Elijah sitting there going, you know, asking him, why is he acting like this? What's the big deal? Now, I'm thinking that when it came to Elijah, important people like the king probably found themselves frustrated more than not, you know, because here they are concerned about all this pomp and circumstance, and here Elijah just is very, you know, basically kind of blasé about it. Because Elijah knows what's important. All the worldly things are of little account compared to God. Elijah's main concern is to be God's messenger, to teach on the laws, as well as to spread the word of God at his time. And he tells the king not to worry about it. And here you have Naaman showing up, all the pomp and circumstance, prepared for something big, spectacular. Naaman wasn't so much looking for a miracle as he was for either magic or at least, you know, he wanted, this is the guy who wanted smoke and mirrors. He wanted a big show to basically, you know, tell other people that he was a man of status. And here he shows up, and here this little prophet won't even give him the time of day. He sends his servant in, and Elijah doesn't even bother to come out. He just says, go tell him to take a bath. Now, as we got to say, somebody who has probably as pompous as Naaman, to be basically told by a guy, well, basically not even told directly by the guy, to basically be blown off by some commoner and told to go take a bath. You know, that had to be a pretty big blow to the ego, because this is a guy, as he says, I'm, you know, expecting him to come out and wave his hands over my sores, and you have this servant who's like, why are you making a big deal of this? He says, wash in the river 7 times and give it a try. And we are told that it heals him. So it's not like some big gesture. There was no lightning, there was no smoke, there was no lights, there was no ta-da. It was a simple act. Now in our gospel today, we have the story of the 70 being sent out. This is sort of like the summer internship. These guys are finally to the point where Jesus is trusting them to go out on their own. And he sends them out in pairs. So there's 35 pairs of people going out. And then we're told that they are given specific instructions. You know, they're going to be out messengers of God's holy word to go spread the good news, as well as to heal. But they're supposed to keep a low profile. They're not even allowed to bring a pair of sandals with them. You know, they're not supposed to bring any food. They're not supposed to bring a purse with them. They're just supposed to go out and have faith that they're going to be taken care of. When they show up somewhere, they're supposed to go into the first house. And if they are accepted there, they're supposed to stay in that house, even if a better option comes along. They're not supposed to leave that house till their work is done there. When they go to a town and the people, if they accept them, they're supposed to be to eat whatever they're given. They're not supposed to make any special demands because it's not about them. It's about God. And so when they finally come back, now this is the part I think every cleric I know out there would be excited about, is 35 pairs of people showing up on Sunday, all excited about the ministry they did the week before. They're all happy. They're all talking about the wonders, about even demons submitting to them. And you have Jesus who's very happy about the work they did. But he reminds them that it's all about God. That it doesn't matter what kind of earthly powers they may have, even over spirits. All that is important is the glory of God. As he says earlier in the reading, that they're supposed to tell people that the kingdom of God has come close. And that's what we are supposed to do as a people. And to remember that no small gestures are all that small, that all we do for the word of God is important, that we're not supposed to seek glory in ourselves, nor are we supposed to seek reward. As Jesus says, you know, the laborer should get paid for his labors. But all the glory goes to God. And that message still holds true today. We all, you know, most of us like to be recognized for things that we've accomplished. You know, when we've done something great, it's nice to have somebody kind of give you the attaboy or the attagirl. But that's not why we do it. We do it so other people will know about Christ. It's funny, throughout the ages, you know, and I'm one of those people, I grew up in a Roman Catholic household, and I grew up on all sorts of stories of great saints doing great acts, you know, of everything from, walking and floating on air to being in two different places at the same time, and, all these great stories. And, you know, we have a lot of those saints that are, I guess, what we refer to as big S saints. You know, like St. Peter and St. Paul or St. Ambrose or St. Teresa. You know, those who maybe made a large impact because of some deeds or because of their excellent teaching. And we remember them and we learn from them. But the reality is that the church is made up with a lot more of us little s saints. Throughout the generations upon generations, the church has thrived and has grown due to the works of men and women who will never be remembered, at least not on earth, who will not be recognized for their great acts for the church. But as Jesus tells them, the important thing is your Father in heaven knows. This is where your glory is that God knows. Now, as we go out into the world, as we leave the church this week, as we go about our daily lives, I encourage you to think about the various small acts that you are being called to do in the name of the kingdom. The ways in which you can proclaim the good news to others. I also encourage you to think about those who have inspired you. Not just the big S saints, but those people of quiet faith. Those who have gone before us, those who are amongst us. Think about how the work of the church continues through the most simple of acts, through the willingness to share with others about the wonders of your own faith, the simple gesture of breaking bread with another person, a simple kindness of saying hello or offering compassion to a person at a time in need. These are the true saints of the church. These are the true acts of the saints of the church. So my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the wonders, but remember, it's all about God.